understand what you're saying, and that's kind of the thing. Here's the truth of the matter, too, is that people are going through a real difficult time right now in different parts of the world. It's a tribulation for them, and it has been throughout the centuries. But the main part will be, are we able to stay faithful to our testimony of who Christ is? And, you know, so I think that that's what this film is trying to get us to do, is to be faithful.
Right, right. And that comes out so strongly in it as we watch that clip that we had available to us. And the thing is, though, I feel like, I don't know, there may be some Christians here in our country who have had to stand up for their faith and suffer serious persecution for it. But I think most Christians haven't here. And so it hasn't been here often like it is in other countries where people are actually, their lives on the line, or their families' lives are on the line, or whatever. And I think we haven't been brought to that point yet, but I think it's a good preparation for us to consider that as the film brings it. You know?
And possibly to be more sensitive to the people who are going through right now, especially when what happened in Afghanistan as well. When you think about the Christians that are there, and we don't know what's going on right now.
Well, I know. That's in kind of on the front burner of our thinking right now. And it breaks my heart that that's happening. And anyway, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Tim, one of the things that we wanted to let people know now that are listening is what they can, you know, we're going to talk to them about prepping and preparing and things like that. And the film talks about the Christians suffering and persecution as with the churches back then. To correlate those two together, you mentioned Afghanistan and even what's happening right now. What is the best thing that they can do learning about these churches and today? I mean, do you have any suggestions for that?
You know, I think that possibly we are casual about our relationships at church. There are a number of people that aren't as committed to attending a church. They're Christians, but they don't go to a church. Or if they do go to church, they don't go to church as often as they should. You know, it's not really where they find, I mean, when we have really large churches, it's easy to become anonymous.
Yes.
You know? And I think that you can come, you can go, you know, you might know a few people, but I think that what I'm taking away from this is I believe it's going to be more and more important that we are connected to a body of other Christians, other believers, just as the early church was, because I think that those relationships are going to be important for us to be encouraged, possibly to find help from each other in different ways, mm-hmm. and not neglecting the needs of other people as things might become more difficult. And I think the takeaway for me is that I need to be in relationship in a much stronger way with my own church and with fellow Christians, and more intentional in that. So that's one takeaway.
Okay. Good.
I think maybe another one is that, that, you know, if there's warnings here in each of these churches, you know, one of them, the Church of Ephesus, there was a warning there with the Church of Ephesus, and it was that you have forsaken your first love. And so, you know, it's easy to remember, to sort of be doing the things you're supposed to be doing technically, you know, like, you know, you're not breaking any rules as a follower of Christ or whatever, but are you loving, you know, and do you still have the same love for the Lord and for his word that you had, or for prayer? And it's easy. My battle sometimes has been news, as an example, that takes me away. Do I wake up? Do I want to find out what happened in the news, or do I want to spend time with the Lord? Mm-hmm. And so I actually had to remove all the news apps from my phone. And my wife said, especially during COVID, because, you know, you're trying to figure out all sorts of stuff that's going on in the world. So for me, I have to, that's an area that I struggle with, because I want to know what's going on, and I have to trust it to the Lord. And that ties into another part to this, is that the news is distracting and upsetting And I can't do anything about certain parts of those things. But God's word is, so I'm trying to focus on what the Bible is each day there, and then what I'm supposed to be doing with my life at this time. And I started seeing that I was much happier, less anxious, easier to sleep, because we do know that we are living with uncertainty. That's unsettling for so many people. And we don't know what kind of mandates that people might be faced with in the future, what kind of decisions they're going to have to make, and what's going to happen to their job, and what's going to happen to their mortgage, and how are they going to, you know, go, you know, with the school and everything. A lot of things feel very unstable, and it's an unstabilizing time period. So where do you find comfort? You know, there's a lot of people that are discouraged, they're depressed, they're anxious. Well, guess what? Those people, some of them don't know the Lord. A lot of them don't. And this is a time of great opportunity. And so if I go to point three, it's then, well, what has God called me to do? You know, what kinds of things am I supposed to be doing? And for me, I started focusing back on the work that he's given me to make films, working on a film like The Seven Churches of Revelation, Times of Fire. And if I stay focused on the things I'm called to do, then I'm a much happier person. And I think that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. Because I tell you, how many times do you see the news headlines? It's like the sky is falling, and then tomorrow the sky's falling in a different part of the world, and then there's another sky falling. That's news. That's their business, is to make you feel like you got to watch the news, and this is going to throw you off it. And it just causes you to be distracted.
Absolutely. It's good to hear you say that, and really appreciate those 3 points. I know you don't have a lot of time left for the interview right now because we're moving on, but anything else that comes to mind? Those are really important things.
I think that, you know, we're going to have this event on October 11th and 12th in theaters, Fathom Theater. It's a Fathom event. And after the film, we'll have a panel discussion. And I've got, we're releasing the list of our panelists on our Thinker Updates for Patterns of Evidence. Yeah. Those panelists are going to add so much to this film, what they're being able to speak into it. And as you know, we have different viewpoints of the book of Revelation. And what I'm trying to do in this is to be more helpful in the area of, well, the first few chapters, it's not as complex because it's messages that Christ gives to the church. But what I've heard from most of these scholars is that these messages are timeless to the church. It's almost like a representation of the church in the last days. And what I do also know is that the last days began from the time Christ left her until he comes back. Yeah. So we've got 2,000 years of the last days with very specific letters to the church, and there's warnings in them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this is the thing that I think is that I think it would be valuable for people to attend. Bring your Sunday school group or bring your Bible study, bring your family. You know, it is a little bit rough. The movie has been given a Dove Award, but we are talking about persecution. So just use your judgment on that. It says, though, in the scriptures, it says over and over, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And each letter gets this this sort of he who has an ear, the next church, you know, Church of Smyrna, you know, same thing. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, Pergamon and Thyatira, each one of those, I believe, has that phrase, you know. Let's see here on Thyatira. I'm looking for it. I do know that it says in Pergamum, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And so I'm like, do I have an ear? Am I listening to what the Lord is saying? You know, do I have that? Yes, it says it here in that church. So it's going through here. It seems to be a common theme. So I say that is that I want to make sure, and I think we all want to make sure that we're listening to this, to the Spirit. And I think the other thing that I get out of this film is that we need to pray for those brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. We need to ask the Lord, what are we supposed to be doing? You know, there's a lot of suffering. It's easy for us in America to come home from church, watch a football game, plan to go on a picnic in the afternoon and do things like everything is, and we like it that way. I like it that way. I mean, you know, but there's other things going on in the world, and there are Christians that are crying out to the Lord for help. And I think we need to start to wake up, you know, to the body of Christ worldwide as well.
Thank you, Tim, so much for joining us. We just appreciate hearing from you. And we are looking forward to seeing the movie on Monday. Is that the 11th? Monday?
The 11th, yes.
Yes. And we will take, Jim's taking his men's group. And we just thank you for helping just produce, or not produce, but get this film out. And we look forward to seeing it and seeing your panel. We read all about the panel, the people that are going to be on it. It looks wonderful. And just thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. And once again, it's at www.7churches.com.
Great.